This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And usually Friday afternoons, I'm feeling just grand. Got a fun weekend ahead. But I got to tell you, Nicole, our listeners have me freaked out today.
Uh-oh. About the eye thing?
Yeah, so I mentioned last couple of days that my right eye has completely blurred out. I had 20/20 vision. And then about 4 days ago, it started to get blurry, and now it's a complete blur. I'm sitting right in front of the laptop. I can't see any of the letters. All I can see is the blurred white screen. And I mentioned that a couple days ago, and yesterday I said, and the first appointment I could get, because I was calling all these ophthalmologists, was next Thursday. And not only were they people messaging me, they were calling Donna at the front desk, and she was getting multiple calls because people were telling me that a blurry right eye could be a precursor to a stroke or a stroke in the eye or all kinds of stuff. And I'd be freaked out.
I do believe eye issues are very, important, and I do, you know, I lectured John when he didn't go to the doctor after he ruptured his, retina or whatever, or detached retina. He didn't go for a couple days. He could be blind.
As soon as possible. But anyway, I got an emergency appointment for 4 o'clock this afternoon at a great place that I've actually gone to before. And here's the thing, because I've always wondered if this problem would come back. I've mentioned before that when I was about 26 years old, I was playing in a basketball league, and I had a Saturday morning game at Lincoln High School, the old Lincoln in Seattle, Wallingford. And I'm driving for a lay-in. There's only one guy back. I'm on a fast break. And he knew he wasn't going to stop me getting to the hoop. And so this guy just flicked out his hand, and he hit me right in the right eye. And I was wearing hard contacts at the time. And he hit my contact lens in my eye just right. I didn't think this would be possible. The contact lens shattered. And all of a sudden, I had all of these sharp pieces of plastic in my eyeball. And oh my goodness, it hurt. It hurt so bad.
That's the thing
about eye injuries. Eyes are very painful, but they also heal very quickly. But my friends raced me to a place called Northwest Eye Surgeons. And a guy came in on a Saturday afternoon who wasn't scheduled, and he was able to remove all of these sharp pieces from my eyeball. But oh, that was so painful.
I didn't even know that could happen.
So I'm going to the same place. And then I think I've told this story before, but it's I love life lessons. I grew up with no social graces. You know, my family where I grew up, we just, you know, we had the kind of habits that lead to poverty or continue poverty, that sort of thing. I never wrote a note to anybody. But then I met my wife. And when we first started dating, she would always write notes to me, little love notes, which I loved, but she would write notes of appreciation and thanks, and sometimes just random notes to random people to be nice. And she was telling me about the power of note writing. So after this doc came in on a Saturday to remove all these shards of contact lens from my eyeball, I wrote him a note. And, you know, I was a nobody. Nobody knew who I was. I wasn't in the media. I mean, I was working in the media behind the scenes. But anyway, fast forward to about 5 years ago. Seahawks about to play the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. And I had, again, something in my eye that could not be extricated. So I went to the same place, and I happened to have the same doctor. And he's helping me out. Now, you know, I'm somewhat well-known because I'd been doing the talk show for 20 years. And I said to him, you're not going to remember this, but I've actually been a patient of yours before. And he said, yeah, the contact lens that broke. And I said, how in the world? Because he's treated thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people since then. And I said, how in the world would you remember that? And he said, because you wrote me a note. He said, nobody writes notes. And he kept it in his desk drawer for many, many years. And he said every once in a while he would pull it out and read it. And so he knew my name, even though I had zero name recognition at the time, back in the 80s. And it was just a very sweet moment. But it was also just proof of what I learned from my, you know, girlfriend slash fiance slash spouse. The power of writing notes is incredible. And so if you ever have a chance to do that, and if you have kids, I'm telling you, teach them at an early age to write notes, because it is the impact is just incredible. So that's my little tip. That's my life tip for today.
Hey, Dory.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what that note said?
I just thanked him for coming in on a Saturday and told him how scared I was.
Oh.
And it was a couple weeks later, and I told him that it was feeling great now and just how much I appreciated him.
Well, are you sure the note didn't say this to your optometrist?
I am the eye in the sky, looking at you.
Interesting.
Pretty certain.
Yeah.
Huh. That's a good try, though.
Yeah.
That's an excellent try.
Yeah.
You know, we said we were going to talk about
As we talked about last hour. What? Why everybody's talking at the same time? I was talking about last hour, we talked to a girl at Sumner High School. Their prom is coming up, and they're not allowed to dance. And none of this makes any sense to me at all.
So hard.
So, of course, high school kids have been told in the past that they cannot dance. But anyway, so the girl I talked to, she said, yeah, we're going to try to have a good time. I said, what are you going to do? And she said, well, we think we're just going to stand around and then take pictures. And it just sounds horrible to me that kids would have a dance and not be allowed to dance. But it's happening all across the country. The mayor of Washington, D.C., she says no dancing in D.C. right now.
Here's what's getting a lot of attention. Standing and dancing receptions are not allowed. What good is a wedding without dancing, Mayor, and why no dancing?
Well, I think there's a lot of good to a wedding, like people starting off their lives together and doing it in a safe way and not doing it in a way that puts themselves or their guests in danger.
But Mayor, just is there any way that you would reconsider with masks on and say a card that shows fully vaccinated that you'd allow dancing?
I mean, think about this. Masks on, vaccinated, and you still can't dance. None of this makes sense. This is just politicians being tyrants.
We're absolutely considering opening more activity as our case rates go down and our vaccination rates go up. And that's in our hotels and that's in our other venues.
Masks and vaccines aren't enough. You may recall a couple weeks ago, I talked to listener Kayla, who was getting married the upcoming weekend down in Tacoma, but they rolled Tacoma back from phase three to phase two, so she was going to have to tell guests who had already flown in from out of state, she was going to have to tell them that they couldn't come to the wedding. And I said, just bring them. I'll pay the fines. But she said, no, the vendors, if they get busted working an event where the population's too big, then they're going to lose their business license. So I might lose my caterer and my florist and the venue itself. Oh, and by the way, they weren't going to be allowed to dance much in Tacoma either.
Some of these other guidelines, tell my listeners about the dancing restrictions. You're going to have to put tape on the floor and make 6-foot boxes that your guests are going to have to stay in when they're dancing?
So we, this is one of the silliest ones, is that we are not allowed to dance with other tables. You are only allowed to dance with your own table. So six people in your dance group. We have to put a little box on the ground for people to dance in their own little square, and they can dance with another square 6 feet away from them, but they have to be separate.
I mean, how crazy is all of this? I mean, I thought we had already settled all of this.
And they danced to celebrate. And that is the dancing that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Aren't we told in Psalm 149? Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Let them praise his name in the dance.
Amen.
And it was King David. King David, who we read about in Samuel. And what did David do? David danced before the Lord with all his might, leaping and dancing before the Lord. Leaping and dancing.
Jay Inslee, the D.C. mayor, they are the enemy. They're going against the Bible now.
Ecclesiastes assures us that there is a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to laugh and a time to weep. A time to mourn. And there is a time to dance.
But I actually am serious here. Government cannot abridge our religious freedoms. And if somebody's getting married and they want to dance at the reception, like Kevin Bacon there, if they want to dance and they are following just biblical commandments, and Jay Inslee says, no, you can't dance, even with a mask, even with vaccination, then they're abridging our religious freedom. Somebody should play that card and see what Jay Inslee says about that.
And there was a time for this law, but not anymore. See, this is our time to dance. It is our way of celebrating life. It's the way it was in the beginning. It's the way it's always been. That's the way it should be now.
I just saw Footloose for the first time in my life about 2 months ago. Never seen it when it was out and I was a kid and it was popular, but it was entertaining. It's a good movie. So anyway, yeah, I say if you're going to a prom, if you are having a wedding, tell them that they're trampling on your religious freedom. You're in a protected class, and see what they say about that. That's our way of getting around it. Oh, and then you want the insanity to continue. There is video today of our vice president, Kamala Harris. She and her husband are walking to an aircraft I don't know if it's Air Force One, Air Force Two, I don't know. But they're walking to an aircraft. They're both wearing their stupid masks outside. And then he apparently is seeing her off because they get to the stairs that go up to the aircraft. And they turn to each other and they kiss each other while both wearing masks. I was thinking, I wonder if they keep a shower curtain in the bedroom with them, too. Washington State Department of Health would strongly recommend that you make sure you have the shower curtain, too, Madam Vice President. Okay, how much time? I got a little more time left here. Up next in the Fastest 15, Joe Biden is also out speaking today. And we found out a lot of things. He's going to spend $3 trillion on infrastructure. $3 trillion. So how much is this going to cost you and every American? Well, Joe's done the calculation.
And it doesn't cost anybody anything and deprive anybody of anything they have earned or deserve.
What realm have we entered? What magical time are we in when Joe's going to spend $3 trillion tax dollars and it's not going to cost anybody anything? That's magic right there.
And it doesn't cost anybody anything and deprive anybody of anything they have earned or deserve.
Wow, that's special. Joe did have a little trouble with the teleprompter. That's partly visual because he's just like leaning in and squinting, but he is so obviously reading, and clearly you can tell when people are saying words that they believe and that embodies what they're trying to say and the point they're trying to get across. Joe, I am confident after listening to this, Joe has no idea what the words he is speaking actually mean.
Job creation is soaring. The economy is growing, and our country is on the move again. But some of the parts of our economy need special help. At the top of that list is our nation's restaurants. When COVID-19 pandemic struck, our nation's restaurants were some of the first hit and the worst hit. In 2020, more than 2.3 million restaurants jobs disappeared. 2.3 million restaurant jobs disappeared. Restaurants are more than a major driver of our economy. They're woven in the fabric of our communities.
Do you remember in high school there would be classes where the teacher would have us open to a book and then he'd have go around and have each kid read one paragraph, but it was a way to engage everybody. And there always would be that one kid who would just read without comprehending what they are saying, but they would just read the words that are in front of them. That's what Joe sounds like. He's around the country, around the world, doing a bang-up job. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
Your 15 minutes will give you the world. All right, coming up next, up in Bellingham, in a first grade classroom, they are reading a book about a transgender child, a concept that first graders have zero comprehension of. We'll talk to the reporter who broke this story next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we told you about yesterday, there is some controversy just up north of us in Bellingham, where in the public schools, teachers in a first grade classroom are sharing a book about transgenderism with these 5 and 6 year old kids. And It is quite the controversy. I've had parents who have reached out to me. The school district is ignoring our inquiries, but it's the Young America Foundation that first broke the story. And Kara Zupkis with YAF, she joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Kara, it's great to talk with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, in case people were not listening to my show yesterday as I was sharing the story you guys broke, tell me about this. Tell me about this book, about the age, and how you came to know about it.
Yeah, so this tip came through our campus bias tip line, which is an awesome resource that YAF has for concerned parents, students, and a parent came forward with this story that his first grade child was subjected to reading a book about transgenderism. It's called I Am Jazz, and it details a 2-year-old biological male that's transitioning into being a female with his parents' support. And the parents had really no idea that this was being read to their children. So the parents reached out to the teacher, they reached out to the school board, and really no one took any action, and they kind of just swept it under the rug as being under the guise of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah, those are words that get tossed around an awful lot. And so the parent, what was their reaction when there's something that they think is entirely inappropriate for their 6-year-old child? What kind of emotions and reaction were you hearing from this local parent?
Yeah, this parent was very upset and very agitated, and he actually went so far as to pull his child out of the class because he was so upset that the school wasn't taking his reaction and his anger seriously, and the fact that they aren't kind of taking the parents' reactions to this seriously. So he took his kid out of the class, understandably so. And then once, of course, we did more digging and we found out about the school board president, that just kind of opened a whole nother door of emotions there.
Yeah, well, let's tell my listeners about that. So the school board president has another job. What is that?
Yeah, she has a little side gig. So she is the owner of a self-described all-ages sex toy shop in Bellingham. She has told a local paper before that while she only sells to those who are ages 16 and older, that anyone of any age can be in her sex toy shop. And she's all about making sure that people aren't ashamed about talking about sex and pleasure and all of those things, which is kind of concerning once you realize that she's kind of in charge of young children's curriculum and their academic future. I think that kind of is a crossroads and kind of a controversy there that I don't know if that should be without the parents kind of going up against that. I think that that someone needs to take action, honestly.
Well, and in fact, the school board president, her name is Jen Mason, and is the sex toy shop called Wink Wink? Is that her place?
Yes, that's okay. Correct.
It's unbelievable. And so, my first reaction, I played excerpts of Jazz reading Jazz's book in the opening segment of my show today. What I find so amazing is the messaging is, no matter how you feel, we're going to just as the first option, we're going to take you down a path of, you know, powerful, hormone-changing, life-altering, physically life-altering drugs. And look, I have absolutely no problem with adults who want to change gender. It's none of my business. It's their life. But when we are trying to tell kids at age 6 that if you feel anything that adults tell you is unusual, that the right pathway is, well, let's do some things that physically, psychologically, emotionally will change you forever. And in our state, in Washington, at age 13, this is happening where school officials are taking children to doctors without even the parents' knowledge or consent. And it's really been amazing to watch this whole thing unfurl.
Absolutely. I mean, we need to call it what it is, and it's child abuse. If you are subjecting your child to transitioning with surgical and different hormone therapies, that's absolutely child abuse. Parents should not be allowed to push that on their children. And I mean, these teachers that are pushing it to children as young as 5 and 6 years old, that's really no place for a school to be pushing that. Honestly, children don't really have any idea what gender, what biological sex, and their different organs and everything. They don't understand that at such a young age. That is such a mature topic to be tackling with these young children. It has no place for the public school system to be shoving this kind of leftist orthodoxy down their throats. It's a very, very sad state of education.
Well, and when I played the excerpts of the book, it is a concept that I think a 5 or 6 year old, it would be impossible for them to wrap their mind about it. So if you have a school that's pushing an agenda on kids who really don't even understand what any of this is about, because I know when I was 5 or 6 years old, I didn't think about these big picture life altering ideals that the schools seem to be pushing on the kids. So what did you hear from the school when you reached out to them?
We heard absolutely nothing. It was a cone of silence. We reached out to not only the superintendent, but also the school board president. Absolutely nothing. But I did see that they released a statement on their website. I don't know if you've seen it. Basically saying that they've been victims of hate speech and harassment because of our story, and just trying to sweep the story under the rug and really excusing their decision making.
Yeah, what they said in the statement, just very quickly from Bellingham Public Schools, they said, our district has received attention for a library book, I Am Jazz, and the private business owned by one of our school board members, that being the All Ages Sex Shop. And they said that they are the victims of hate speech and harassment. And as you suggested earlier, reading diverse books and learning about all kinds of lives is consistent with our values in our strategic plan, the Bellingham Promise. So this is part of a plan that the school board has laid out for the children in their care. And you know, what I wanted to know, and we also sent a long list of questions to the school board, but we wanted to know, whose idea was it to put the book in the library? Are kids able to check it out and read it at age kindergarten, first, second grade? Or is it only teacher supervised? I don't know the answer to any of those questions because, like you, they've been stonewalling us on the same issue as well.
Exactly. And parents need to demand answers. I mean, hopefully this story will expose what's going on behind closed doors, and hopefully a lot of parents will take action and show up to these school board meetings demanding answers from the superintendent, from the school board, that they can't swipe this under the rug and they need to be held accountable.
I would also love to know, since the school board president's sex toy shop is all ages, I would love to know, are there really 6, 8, and 10 year olds walking home from school who go in and look around this place? It's all of this. My three girls, my wife and I have three daughters. They're all grown now, Kara. But this just breaks my heart. This corrosive society that is doing everything it can to just introduce to our kids things that a lot of parents don't want introduced. And it's really a horrible state of affairs.
It really is. And we're just seeing so many trends from this. Like I mentioned, our campus bias tip line, we receive literally hundreds of stories about this every year, ranging from the transgenderism and the transgender ideology movement to critical race theory. It's really seeping into as young as elementary school. You know, we always kind of thought, oh, it's just a college liberal bias issue. But no, it goes into high school, it goes into middle school, it goes as far as elementary school. And it is going to take the parents to stand up and fight back against this. Absolutely.
Yes, it is. Well, it's going to take the parents, and it's going to take organizations like yours that whistleblows when you get tips on this. Kara's organization, the Young America Foundation, you can find them at yaf.org. Kara, I appreciate the work you guys do and that you shine a light on these things that parents and families need to know about.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. All right. That is Kara Zupkis with the Young America Foundation. I would love to know what you think about all this. You can text us at 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. What? consequential criminal trials in a long, long time. The trial of Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who was convicted of second-degree murder of George Floyd. But now is that murder verdict going to get overturned? It is clear that Derek Chauvin should get a new trial and that the last trial should be null and void. And that's because one of the jurors, and he is now speaking out, you may have heard the story, but now you can hear from him. One of the jurors who sat in judgment of Derek Chauvin, juror number 52, Brandon Mitchell, a podcaster and a basketball coach. And when they were interviewing jurors, he specifically said that he didn't know much about the George Floyd situation, that he just hadn't followed the news much. He said that he didn't attend any rallies. But it turns out pictures have now surfaced of him wearing a T-shirt at a rally that George Floyd's family attended, and the T-shirt said, "Get your knee off our necks." And he also was wearing a Black Lives Matter baseball cap at this rally. And again, he said that he didn't do any of this stuff, but when he was interviewed to be a juror, and here he is. That guy, he said that, he just thought it was a march for voter registration.
I attended any protests for George Floyd or anything for police brutality. My answer was no, because I hadn't. This particular march was for more so for voting, voter registration, getting people out to get out and vote for the presidential election that was upcoming a couple months afterward.
And this was the only one that you attended?
Correct. This is the only thing I attended.
So you did not attend the protests on behalf of George Floyd or anything like that?
No, I didn't. Did none of that.
Okay, he says he thought it was a march for voter registration, but the rally that day was called the Get Your Knee Off Our Necks March. And even C-SPAN, said that it was a rally for the memory of George Floyd. And here the media is explaining that this guy apparently is not telling the truth when he says that he thought it was a voter registration rally.
And the march that he went to, which was on August 28th, 2020, was specifically about police brutality. In fact, it was partly advertised as Get Your Knee Off Our Necks. And it had speakers with the Floyd family, Breonna Taylor and Jacob Blake.
Well, John, it was billed as the Get Your Knee Off Our Necks March, and organizers say it was necessary to come back to Washington, D.C. on this historic day to demand change.
Our next commitment march begins.
Yeah, this march on Washington is in protest of police brutality and will be attended by the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Eric Garner.
Regardless how you feel about Derek Chauvin, he deserves a new trial after all that. Big Lead to 2 is next.